Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Finding Holy Delight. Here's Hayes and Zachary with our scripture reading.
Leviticus 25. The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, When you enter the land I am giving you, the land shall observe a Sabbath for you, for the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their field.
But in the seventh year you shall be a Sabbath from complete rest, from the land in Sabbath for the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not repeat the aftergrowth of your harvest or gather the grapes of your unpruned vine. It shall be a year of complete rest for the land. You may eat what the land yields during its Sabbath. Your male and female slaves, your hired and your bound laborers who live with you for your livestock also, and from the wild animals in your land, all its yields shall be for food.
The word of God for the people of God.
I once heard a wise woman say that if you refuse to keep Sabbath, to pause from your work for the purpose of rest and gratitude, worship and delight, then you should not be surprised when your body forces an unwanted Sabbath upon you. I knew she was right. I knew it in my gut because of my own stubborn experience. And I remember this quote every time my husband tells me that I need to slow down or take a break. He's usually right, and he'll remind me of it when I get sick a week or two later. Forced Sabbath, I think. And then I laugh at myself and vow to recover as quickly as possible so I can get back to work, refusing to give in to my own human limitations and the need for rest that we all experience, each and every one of us. Like young children who've stayed up long past their bedtimes, kicking and screaming, refusing to get in bed, protesting relentlessly, screaming, I'm not tired, I'm not tired. Many of us, grown people, are trapped by our own choosing in rhythms of work and rest, or lack thereof, that are leading us straight to the medical doctor with high blood pressure and also to the therapist with the stress caused by our never-ending work. Well, there are physical reasons that God's commandment to cease from our work one day out of every seven, it just makes good sense. A similar logic is considered when farmers leave their land fallow for a whole season, allowing it to rejuvenate and restore after lending its nutrients to plants and preceding seasons of growth. Of course, leaving farmland unplanted would mean fewer crops and less profit. However, studies have shown that letting the land lie fallow for one season benefits the soil, and in most cases, it renders a higher yield in subsequent years of harvest. This technique of letting the land lie fallow was widely used for centuries, but over time and with scientific advancements, many farmers eventually shifted techniques to maximize production. Rather than leaving land fallow, open, and unplanted for an entire season, there are now chemical treatments that can be applied to boost the depleted nutrients without enduring the loss of profit. But before you and I get too judgmental about chemical substitutes for fallowing the land, let us consider how we rush to the coffee pot or go to grab that 5-hour energy drink at the gas station on the way to work, just a little something to wake us up, to give us some energy and to move us beyond the physical signs that our human bodies desperately need rest. There is a grueling rhythm of work and rest, or lack thereof, that we have created and enabled in our society. Children and teenagers start early as they pack their weeks with academic and extracurricular activities intended to hone skills in the classroom and on the playing field. These experiences will beef up resumes for college applications and get them ready and started down a path toward success. Young adults in early career put in unthinkable hours at work, trying to establish themselves professionally. Mid-career, when we think we might be able to settle into a more sustainable rhythm, we've proven ourselves. But at that point, we recognize that it's too late. We have already set the tone and established the patterns of work and, well, just more work. The patterns that will shape our whole lives. Nearing retirement, many begin to grow insecure and worry about job security in those final years of professionalism. And so the pattern continues, and the work life becomes the whole life. Now, if we are truly Bible-believing people, if we truly value the Ten Commandments and prioritize the laws of Leviticus over the ways of this world, then why is it that we have such a hard time establishing and honoring these divinely ordained rhythms of work and rest in our own lives? And how is it that we overlook our commitment to honoring the land that grows our food, that cleans our air, and provides the very literal ground upon which our entire lives are built? It's a shame that we don't take these verses as seriously as we do some other parts of the Bible. If we did, we might not find ourselves in this predicament of never-ending work. Work, 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 and more work. From Sinai, God speaks the commandment to Moses, saying, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God." Exodus 20:8-10. And a similar law is restated to the Israelites as they prepare to enter the promised land after being liberated from Egyptian captivity, after being freed from the Egyptian way of life and set to go forth in the promised land in their own unique way. The law is restated, this time expanding the call and reminding the Israelites that the concept of Sabbath rest is not only for them, but it's one that is intended for all of creation, even those who have no voice to cry out in exhaustion. So from today's reading, we hear the words, 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in their yield, but in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of complete rest for the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Whatever the land produces on its own in that sabbatical year could be eaten, but the word of God was clear. There would be no planting, no nurturing, or even large-scale harvesting during this seventh year. In the seventh year, the land would lie fallow. For those of us with a small backyard vegetable garden, this commandment would be hard enough to follow. But for the Israelites who lived from their land and from the income that it could produce, this was a huge personal, economic, and spiritual commitment. To take Sabbath and to give the land Sabbath meant fully trusting God to provide everything for a full year, no human control for 1 year out of every seven. But the health of the land depended on it. If we were to continue reading the whole 25th chapter of Leviticus, we would discover that this concept of Sabbath is not only about what we need to stop doing. Sabbath is also about relationships. It's about relational wholeness, freedom, and delight with all of humanity and all of the created order. Sabbath is a gift for all people, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from. Sabbath is a gift for the land, for the plants and the animals that dwell upon it and within it. Sabbath is an economic reality. It is a social reality, And most importantly, it is a spiritual reality into which we are all invited, all of God's creation, time and time again. Why do we insist on saying no? Famous rabbi Abraham Heschel says that the meaning of Sabbath is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space, he says. But on the Sabbath, we try to become attuned to the holiness in time. Continuing, he says, the Sabbath is a day on which we are called upon to share in what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. A time to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. The varied and long-lasting interruptions caused by COVID-19 have become a sort of unwanted Sabbath for so many of us and for our world. Just as illness often sets in when our bodies are pushed to the max and we desperately need to rest, this pandemic has exposed some of the exhaustion in our personal lives and in our communities. Many of those stress points are just begging for renewal, and this forced Sabbath might just be our opportunity. Perhaps a turn from the world of creation, the world of production, to the recreation of the world might help us here. COVID has altered our patterns of life and work, creating for us the perfect opportunity to reboot our patterns. Could this be a holy invitation to rebuild our lives in a way that prioritizes Sabbath and recognizes it as a basic human need? 6 months ago, no one would have imagined that the school year, which begins tomorrow, would be starting in quite this way, with many students engaging primarily online. In the same way, no one could have imagined that our church and so many other churches would still be meeting for online worship and not able to gather in the sanctuary. This unwelcome interruption feels like we are living in a fallow year. Our calendars are stripped of in-person gatherings and large-scale community events. Our production of events and programs has slowed down tremendously, as the way things always were just won't work. But I remember that old agricultural principle that suggests that after a fallow year such as this, the land often yields a bigger harvest. Could it be that this season of rest from business as usual is actually good for us all? Could it be that this is our holy invitation to give up all of our control, to sit still, to breathe, to watch, to listen, and maybe even to delight in the mystery of divine creation or divine recreation that is unfolding all around us? Could whatever comes next yield a new crop with a miraculous harvest? Is God restoring the very soil of our souls? In this season, nothing is as it used to be, which is an opportunity to set things up the way they ought to be. Perhaps as we prepare for the beginning of a new school year, as we anticipate the beginning of a new church year in just a few weeks, as we prayerfully consider a new chapter of ministry with a new member of our ministerial staff team, as Compassion Camp comes to an end, and as we are all hoping and longing for a fresh start, perhaps we might choose to include and insist on Sabbath as we rebuild and start anew. Sabbath that causes us to cease from all of our work and productivity. Sabbath that moves us from seeking only the results of creation, but instead draws us deeper into the mystery of creation. Perhaps there and only there will we ever find holy delight in God's new creation. Lord, may it be so. Amen.